Watch this. No way!
Hello and welcome back to the Cookie Jar Golf Podcast. I am Tom Mills and today I am joined by my friend Sam Williams.
Greetings, Thomas. Feels like a real while since I've podded and I don't know why that is.
It's been like 10 days. Last one was a course diaries at Sunningdale Heath.
Yeah, but we had that in the chamber for a good week, I would say, maybe two. And before that was Ryder Cup. So I'm feeling a little dusty on the podcasting
front. And here we are about to do a tour diaries on Northern Ireland.
Yeah, so run us through the itinerary, Thomas. Just remind me.
I'm acutely aware that not everyone who listens to our podcast follows our social media. So if you haven't followed us on at Cookie Jar Golf, please do. And if you have, you'll probably be sick to death with the sight of us playing silly places in Northern Ireland. We had a four-course trip, which involved Royal County Down, Royal Port Rush, Bushfoot, and the Ban course at Castle Rock, which we managed to shovel all those courses into.
Enough time would be my take. It was always hectic.
48 hours?
Every golf trip, it doesn't matter what golf trip you go on, it's always just seems like crazy hectic. You don't have more than a minute to breathe.
But isn't that just because, though, you know, you could have more time. You could have 3, 4, 5 days, but you just
wouldn't get enough done.
Well, you'd fill it something.
Exactly.
If we had another day,
we'd have done 27 holes on the Saturday and we still tried to bolt golf onto the Sunday.
We would have tried to do a Port Stewart or the Castle Rock 18, or, you know, we would have tried to do a lot more than we were capable of doing. So it's just tour life, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And so we had two nights, we pretty much had two full days at it, and then a kind of a quick sort of splash and dash on the Saturday morning before flying back. And first time I've been to Ireland or Northern Ireland for a long time. Used to go loads as a junior, but I think it's fair to say we've had this trip booked since pre-Cookie Jar times, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've had this in the diary for a very, very long time. We went with a friend of the jar, Sam Clapham, that we went to Northern Ireland with, and he's got some relatives out there. So that has been in the diary forever. And then COVID pushed it back and all sorts. And I've never played golf in Ireland. I have played golf in Northern Ireland. I've played Portrush before and Castle Rock before and Ballycastle up in Northern Ireland. So it was nice to go back, I'd say, you know, after the woke reformation. Yeah, I feel
the
like...
The woke reformation. Since you've become educated.
Yeah.
It's about the most elite statement I think I've ever heard you come out with.
The Renaissance.
Immediately turned off 85% of our listener base there with that comment. So thank you for that, Thomas.
You know, I dare say when I last went to Northern Ireland, I wouldn't have known, you know, who designed some of these courses. I wouldn't have cared who designed some of these courses. I wouldn't have thought about why a bunker was where it was. I just used to get up and hit it and hope that I could get around it without dying, which I still can't do, by the way. Mm.
Still got brutalized for a few days, didn't we? I mean, should we just canter through it then? So we flew at silly o'clock, usual sort of 7 a.m. departure.
Out of BHX.
Yeah, Birmingham Airport, straight into Belfast International. By the way, great job on booking a return flight from a different airport and spotting that before we got to the wrong airport on the way back. We'll come back to that in a minute. And then very quickly picked up a hire car down at Royal County Down day one. And I think we arrived there probably, about 10:30?
Yeah, I reckon we were at County Down by 10:30.
Which is incredible. Like, just that alone, I think, is unbelievable. County Down is over an hour away from the airport. It's a decent drive. You've got a little bit of rush hour to contend with.
Well, it was a 7 a.m. flight. It's a 45-minute flight. And I dare say from nearly anywhere in the UK, it's not going to be a huge difference. Maybe an hour maximum, maybe an hour from London or something. But yeah, I mean, so simple. And you get, and the airports are fairly manageable. You get out, pick up your bag, leave, done. You get that, it all happens fairly
domestic,
sharpish.
Domestic's beautiful as well, isn't it? Yeah. Domestic flights are just so much easier. And yeah, got to County Down. Neither of us have played County Down, right? So
none of us had played it.
And you go in there with, for you know, personally, County Down going in was like this is this incredible mythical golf course. I do not know what to expect. It is revered around the world as, you know, one of the greats, if not
as
the
are
greats.
Many golf courses that has our many
absolutely,
you know, that you play. And you know, it's just, I felt going into it, it was just going to be another really good golf course.
See, I different personally, because I feel like there's an aura that surrounds a conversation with County Down that is different. It does have this very, very mythical presence, I think.
I can categorically tell you now, it's not another really good golf course. It's a very, very, very good golf course.
No, but I mean the perceptions going in, and you are very aware you're turning up at, you know, one of the most prestigious courses in the world, and you know very little about it. You know you're lucky enough to be playing it that day. And you know, that means, I don't know if you're like, you're not on guard, but you are very mindful of where you're at. And like the welcome, it was just like, just knocks you down, doesn't it? Like that's the one of the overriding feelings with County Down is walking into the clubhouse, Phil, the caddy master, straight out, how you guys doing? What time you guys playing? Introduction, this is where you're going, upstairs food, make yourself comfortable. And it's like we sat down after about half an hour and you're like, that is just the best start to arriving at a golf course.
Yeah, it makes an enormous difference, just someone smiling at you when you arrive. I think too many golf courses perhaps see the visitor as, you know, a means to an end. You know, they're there for their membership and the visitor is a means to an end in terms of, you know, balancing the books. But like this place, you're like, yeah, this is, they want me here. This is good. This is nice.
I wouldn't say it's anti what I was expecting, but you just don't know much about County Down other than its reputation of being a seriously heavy hitting golf club. And I think that was just a really big eye opener. It would be remiss not to talk about the pro shop activity, because I was fairly well amped to spend some money in that pro shop, and I think we both succeeded. Well, you just move so quickly through pro shops when you're getting merchandise. It takes me about five times longer and I can't really figure out why.
Yeah, there's an art to it. I've got a very specific routine in pro shops. First of all, we both got ball racks.
Yeah, so gotta get the logo balls.
It's find that out fairly quickly. Logo balls, you got them? Yeah, where are they? Good. Bang, done. That's number one. Number two, you immediately need to ascertain whether there's a sale rail or not. That's very,
do you go
very
there?
Important.
That's, so there's an ordering to this in my head. So I never have sale rail in my head as being like, let's just see if that's there.
Look, you know, the Galvin, the Hughes, it's all amazing. But ultimately, it's really, really, really expensive.
Can you pick up a bargain?
No, I'm not going to. It's a very, very expensive. And unless it knocks me dead, it's not getting purchased because it's just too expensive, really. It's the reality of it. Now, you give me 20% off that and suddenly it's like, well, it's robbery if I
can't
don't.
Can't afford not to be buying
exactly.
It at those prices, can you?
No, if you get 20% off, it's like, okay, yeah, I can do this. So it is immediately sale rail for me. And you go to the sale rail, scan for the size, the appropriate size, and then you think, right. Now, County Down, we're doing a 2-for-1 on their sale rail. And I looked at it and I was like, okay. So I could get like a nice sort of a Hughes top or a Galvin top and then a polo. And I thought, actually, what on earth are you doing? You could just get two Hughes tops or two Galvin tops, you know, and you're not like getting the
you
cheapest
really
one free.
You moved really quickly on those. They're both identical pricing. So fast, it was untrue.
So I was like, okay, well, this now, like, I can justify this at home. My wife will be okay with this. She'll think this is appropriate that I can, you know, I managed to tell her, you know, like, it was a good deal.
I just think there's definitely an art to doing it well. And I always think it's, you never want to come away from a pro shop having purchased something that A, you're never going to use, or B, you just feel like that was just a bad buy. A good buy, you want to come away, yeah, okay, I'm going to get some use, I'm going to love that. I hate the feeling of driving away thinking, I wish I'd have got that. But I never go in with a structure a lot. You know, I think I'd be really interested
again,
to know how people approach pro
again,
shops.
In life, I'm someone that I will go to a shop knowing exactly what I want and I will leave. I don't browse in life. That's just not something I do.
Well, I'm talking about it because I feel like at County Down, I made really good decisions there. I got a really nice bag towel.
Enough time
beautiful
making PRG those
bag towel. Really nice Hughes top. Peter Millar polo. I think I'm well set on polos now. And of course, the logo ball for the rack.
The logo
ball. Anyway, look, We'll stop whittering on about that. It'd be really nice just to talk about course at County Down and the round. And we had caddies as well. County Down insist for visitor golfers that at least take a four caddy. That's definitely the right thing. That is 100% the right thing to do there, because, you know, there are blind shots. It's so clearly a course where you need to know your way around. And why leave it to chance when it's your first time there? You want to get the experience. You want to see it. And we had a blast, didn't we, with Dale, Ray and Phil. Like, they were just one of the greatest bunch of guys. Your first time with the caddy, of course. Yeah.
So I have actively avoided caddies in life because I just don't feel like I need the stress of somebody saying, hit it over there. And you're like, okay, I am trying. I'm just not good enough. Okay. I'm going to try and put a ball over there. You can tell me to do it that all you want. But actually, I was dreading the kind of process of it. But the reality is, we're all human, and we're like, even the pros hit bad shots and they're not judging you. Like, I kind of felt like I was going to be judged, which is why I've always avoided it. But they're not judging you. It's just like, yeah, let's just make your day really good.
And they're really good company. I think, you know, and Phil, you know, just one of the great storytellers. Just had so much fun. Like,
the issue, I have an issue with it though, is that there were three caddies and three golfers. And the caddies were infinitely better ball strikers than the golfers. So that was a bit of a pickle. Because Dale, my caddy, was a scratch golfer.
Phil was a pro. Shot 67 round County Down.
And we're just like they're like absolute ball strikers, just watching us going, I could have knocked around at 67, but yeah.
Yeah, but it is helpful. And oh, so good. They're just really good guys.
Dale's reads on the green were just
frightening.
Worldy. And it was blowing. So it was like 30-mile-an-hour winds, really, really gusty. And Dale's like, well, this is going to do this, but then the wind is doing this. So we need to think about that. You know, what pace are you going to do? And like, okay, this is what you fancy. Bang, bang. So good.
Those that know County Down, you essentially return to the house after nine. So you play away from the house and then gradually kind of make your return in. And then you kind of repeat. So it's a similar-ish type of routing. That on the face of it does not sound exciting. The holes are absolutely breathtaking. Particularly the front nine, I just cannot remember playing a stretch of golf holes anything like it. And yeah, I mean, they're incredible. The conditions of the day meant that we started down away from the house, down a gale force wind. So I had wedge into the par five first, I believe, that I was not getting on greens coming home. It was so windy into. Which, you know, I think there's something in there about, you know, getting brutalized. We'll probably talk about that, about Portrush. But the wind really was a big factor.
And
it amped up the difficulty, didn't it?
We chose appropriate tees.
Yeah, yeah.
We went forward. We went to the yellow tees. We were offered, you know, like, you know, go nuts. And we looked at the wind and we're like, yeah, we just don't need to make this harder.
So here's a little nugget for you, because it was quite interesting talking to the guys. I said, I can imagine a lot of people want to move all the way back to the tips whenever they get here. And he said, yeah, maybe more for the British tourists. As the Americans are actually quite sensible with this. They'll maybe go forward. So if anything, they'll want to kind of reduce the length of the course. I was like, oh, that's an interesting take. I did not know that. Correct. Views at County Down, I think, would be remiss not to talk about.
Well, it's a very peculiar place in terms of it's on the sea, you're in Duneland, but framed by mountains. So you've just got, and the mountains really affect the weather, because you can see, the mountains are only about 2 miles away. And as the clouds come over, you can see the rain is coming. You're like, oh God, we're going to get absolutely loaded here. And they're like, no, watch this. And like Dale was like, just watch this disperse. And it just splits across and it just leaves you. And you're like, this is just... It's blame 1, 2, 3, all in a row, all downwind. And every time you look back, seeing the mountains, seeing the town, it's like, this is just the best view I've ever seen on a golf course.
It was remarkable. And I think that maybe is what gives it that kind of mythical presence. The fact you've got mountains, dunes, crashing waves, nearby town, the whole thing just feels like otherworldly. And yeah, I mean, you can definitely see it. I think I don't think we need to wax lyrical about the course too much, because I just think it's, I think those of us who didn't know how good
can
it is.
Can we wax lyrical about my start?
Yeah, we definitely can. So you hit a jibby 6-foot putt for eagle on one.
I got a bit scared.
Yeah. I if that had gone in, your nose would have bled there and then. Just putting that out there. But a great, great birdie on one. Then I seem to remember I was definitely inside you on two. And you've just raked in this 12-footer or whatever for another birdie. Followed by... I think you made a tidy 2-putt par.
Yeah, and then...
2 under gross, I thought, whew,
and then
this
and
could
then,
be the round of his life.
And then you turn into the wind.
Yeah. And then
that's the end of that.
Blew one out into the dunes on four.
That was the end of that. I finished the round there, just walked in.
Yeah, par three, the fourth, into the wind was just... I mean, we were getting all the advice, but I think the caddies knew that it was a futile attempt to hit that green.
When I turned to my caddy and said... Is there a bailout? Is there anywhere I can hit like a 150-yard shot here? And he's like, no, it's 200 yards, hit the green.
You got to step up and execute here. It's 200 into a 30-mile-an-hour gale. Yeah, good luck. There's the 5-wood, go wild.
But Sammy Claps took the biscuits, didn't he? He just plodded around and just did very, very well. Did no blobs, just kind of just ticked it over. 2 points, 1 point, 3 points, 2 points. Very, very good in that wind. It was...
Well, it's interesting. Very Tommy Dean's golf, who is a kind of someone we talk to quite a bit backwards and forwards through social media. You know, hugely passionate golf course architecture nerd. One of the first things he asked actually was, "How did you guys play?" And it really makes all the difference. You don't want to go to a place like that and play bad golf, because you are just going to get chewed up, spat out. You are going to spend a lot of time looking for balls if you're spraying it into the dunes. And I actually think we all hit the ball really good around there, which makes a big difference, because it's a bloody tough course.
Score very well.
No, it was blisteringly difficult. I mean, you know, I'm off three, and Phil on the first tee says, "What are you playing off?" And goes, "Yeah, okay. I mean, anything inside 80 here is an incredibly good score. So, you know, let's just keep plodding around." And he's right. If you keep the ball in play, at least you're in the hole on some of those tough ones, because you're playing at least 8 holes that are playing probably add one to the par. You know, a 4-on-4 was a great score. Other kind of just quick notable shout out, when we're on the way around, one thing I didn't know about County Down is the second course, the Ansley.
Mm.
I obviously knew they had the ladies course there as well. Some of those holes on the Ansley looked amazing.
Yeah,
and I think if anyone was... there and visiting, not bolting on a little afternoon loop around there. I think it's 4,000 yards, 18 holes.
It's something
holes.
They do very well.
Yeah.
You know, it's second courses, shorter courses, and we'll talk about another one later on, you know, with the band, but it's something they do really, really well. I would have loved to have been, you know, spent another half a day there and had a crack at that. And, you know, and there's something to be, you know, maybe a tour in itself is just second course tour and see, you know, all these different second courses and what they've got to offer. But I know that Martin Ebert's done a bit of work on designing some new holes, because they got rid of a couple of holes because of to put the driving range in and stuff like that. So it, you know, some of it looked very, very good. Obviously we're looking at it from afar, but
Incredible. I mean, amazing. But I mean, it's just got such good land. And I think that statement applies through all the places we played in Ireland, to be honest with you. Obviously, a little jaunt up to Portrush. You know, we got very carried away at County Down with how much fun we were having, and, you know, kind of, you know, just hanging around afterwards and having a drink and stuff. So sadly, we managed to get ourselves into fish and chip territory for the second time that
felt
day.
Felt like Scotland 2020 vibes.
Yeah. Like you're in the desert again, nowhere for food. But we did manage to sort of have a few nice drinks and kind of familiarise ourselves before the big day at Portrush as well, which, you know, what a 2 days we've had there. So arrival at Portrush, bit of a overcast day. I think it's fair to say not optimal for droning.
Yeah, it was very, very dark.
Yeah. It's such hard light for you, isn't it, with the filming there?
Pitch black, yeah, it's tough. it was really overcast, really just a bit bunk as far as if you want to do some filming is concerned. You know, no real definition in the sky or anything like that, but we met up with Charlene there and
Another great team, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, just another great bunch of people who are just really passionate and proud about golf club.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we obviously sort of turned up, managed to yip a few chips around the green and stuff for half an hour, and then went out into, I would say the wind was maybe, I'd say it's the same as what we played.
A mile
at County
or two
down, stronger,
if anything.
There was nothing in it.
I'd say the difference.
And we just got, I mean, it was brutal.
I'd say the difference with County Down and Portrush is County Down, you play three in the same direction. You play two back, then you play into wind, then you play three back into wind, then you play the seventh holes, then is back into wind, eighth is back into wind, ninth is back in the wind, ten back downwind.
Not many were across, were they?
There wasn't any sort of triangulation or movement. There's no real crosswind, maybe 14, possibly a crosswind one. Portrush had a much more of a directional flow to the course, which meant that you never really played many holes with consecutive wind directions.
Yeah, that's a great take.
And I felt like we had a lot of crosswind all day, which is great if it's off the right.
Yeah, it's disastrous off the left.
So it was
the only one we played pretty much straight into or down. Actually, we had quite a few into it, but the first was like absolutely right into your face, wasn't it?
First was
and
right
then it
into.
Sort of it naturally seems to follow the contours round, you know, almost turning at sort of like, you know, half an hour on the clock every hole until you get to sort of five and six, where six obviously it juts back on you.
What's interesting is that I'd played Portrush before, so I knew kind of what to expect. You'd only seen Portrush on the TV, and you had no idea that the first looked like the first.
No, it's really uphill, isn't it?
It's really uphill. It's a relatively flat drive.
Totally different hole in the open. Like, totally different.
Yeah, it looks it, doesn't it? I mean, I think the cranes and all that stuff, it just really doesn't give you the perspective. Sam Clapham was putting from the back of the green on one, and we all looked
green's
at it like,
mental.
How do you keep this on the green? It's
got to be below the hole, really.
Yeah, otherwise it's off. It's literally 100 yards back down the fairway.
Yeah, full wedging around for the next.
Yeah, it's so that approach is really, really dramatic.
I'd say that opening stretch again at Portrush, just mind-bendingly good. I think Portrush is just the way the course flowed was incredible. Mm. It just flows. I don't know how better to say it. I think maybe there's a bit of the direction and the way you're moving around through it. Didn't feel like there was massive walk between green and tee.
Nope.
Which is quite hard to achieve on an open rotor course where it will have naturally been reconfigured quite a bit. Just the whole thing all felt very harmonious.
I think there were probably
bigger
walks to the open tees, but to the normal tees, it was
flowed well. You know, you even play like the seventh, which is a new golf hole, I believe. Mm-hmm. Mackenzie and Ebert, and maybe some of the feel of it and the length and the bunkering might be like, yeah, this has clearly had the kind of modern touch applied to it. But its place in the course and where you're going, it feels completely harmonious
perfect,
with exactly. So just nothing sort of like jumps out as being like, oh, this is just really random. The whole thing just flows brilliantly. And it was just a seriously tough challenge. I'd say that as a course coming off that, I thought, yeah, it was totally and utterly humbled by how bloody hard that was. You just had to keep hitting. Everything had to be good, didn't you? There was no scope for a bad shot where you were just going to get away with it.
There was no real scope for an ordinary shot. It was like you had to keep hitting worldies because, you know, if you don't hit it pure, and any spin on the ball just gets like massacred. So you've just got to like absolutely pure it. And
it'd be remiss not to talk about the fifth, having gone out in the first four, and I've just hit
this
lasers
was a real
for
dark,
four holes.
This was dark for you. Are you sure you want to talk about this? Because we haven't talked about this privately yet. Are you sure?
I'm
you
still
do it
got scars. I just feel like maybe vocalizing will improve it. But you know, for the listeners' benefit, we've hit lasers for the first four holes. I have, and I just can't get on a bloody green. Yeah. And then
Just for the listeners' benefit, I think I was about 2 over still on the fifth, but well, that's fine.
Irrespective, I was only interested in my own game. Slotted 1-5. Great little mound in the middle of the fairway, by the way.
So
probably no more than 50 yards.
What's interesting is the fifth is one that's like, oh yeah, it's a drivable par 4. And you stand on the tee, like, approaching it. This is a drivable par 4.
Looks about 600 yards.
About 380 yards. You're like, doesn't seem that drivable.
That was one that was downwind as well.
Yeah, that was downwind. But still, I mean, to be fair, you're only about 40 yards short. But like, so you put yourself 40 yards short of the green with a lovely little mound in front of you. And I was about 50 yards from the green. This is the important part of this story. I was about 10 yards behind you and had to chip first. So, go.
So you get over that and go, you do not want to knife it here. And the reason you don't want to knife it there is because anything past the back edge of the green goes off into the abyss. Total death, hole over, go to the 6T, do not collect £200, do not pass go. And you've got a significantly more reliable short game than me. I have chipping
yips. You're
the
ball strike of the group.
I have chipping yips that can appear occasionally. And once that was in my mind, I'd already clocked that it was not one to knife it through. But then good as gold went, and I think it was still going up over the flag, to be fair, that chip. I had a little quiet.
But that mound was important.
Quite a few minutes after that.
Because that mound meant that you couldn't putt it.
Yeah, I still would have putt it if you put me there again today.
But Sam knifed this out the back, and he looked at me, and I thought he was going to kill me.
I thought the 54 would look good around your neck at that point. But let's move on from that.
Good as gold, I just went, should we hug?
should we just hug this out?
And you're like, no, can you just go away, please, right now? Please don't talk to me.
At a good social distance, of course. Just top draw, wasn't it? Now, this is where the trip gets really interesting for me, because we've had a fabulous time at Portrush. You know, we've just experienced two of the best golf courses you can physically play.
Hang on, before we move on from Portrush, we need to talk about how we wanted to go live on Calamity.
Yeah,
but no, we didn't have the guts to do a 200-yard uphill into wind, into gale force wind live. So we're like, what we'll do is we'll video it. And then we'll put it on the ground. And we videoed it. It's safe to say not a single shot went on Instagram.
It was a virgin green, wasn't it? Yeah, we were never anywhere.
That was so
that
hard.
Thing was in no danger of getting
that
a pitch mark
so hard,
that day.
And they make it look so easy.
Uphill 200 into mass wind. It's a really big reminder of why the pros are the pros and why we are rank amateurs. I would love to play Portrush again, for the simple fact I'd love to play in slightly more playable conditions, because I think you could actually, you would put you under a bit more stress. But I think if you hit really good golf shots around there, I can see how you can get into a nice run going through it. It's not easy.
Felt quite hard.
But
watching.
It felt like a futile exercise in that wind, to be honest. Yeah. It felt like, you know, you're never going to sniff a score today.
And it was a bit of a solar plexus punch when we came off. Literally that day came off Portrush, when I met with Charlene upstairs, had a coffee, and Charlene's the head assistant pro there. And we had a coffee and talked about the course. And, you know, you pull up Instagram and Golf Surrey has just done the exact same trip 3 days ago, and it's nothing but pristine blue sky, sun, no wind. And you're like, that would have been nice.
So we went over to Bushfoot, and I think when we pieced together the itinerary, this is exactly where you can try and bite off too much. I'd love to have gone and seen Port Stewart. I'd love to have gone and played St. Patrick's Links. The reality is you can just squeeze too much into a day, and the nine holers are what make all the difference, because if we'd have raced around Portrush, we wouldn't have had the experience that we had at Portrush and seeing some of the clubhouse and meeting some of the people and just being able to just enjoy being there. So nine holes was the optimal amount of golf in the afternoon. Any more would have been completely pointless. And so many people, I think, get into the trap of, right, we're there, let's race to the next place. And going to Bushfoot, which is a £15 club where, you know, you can go and play, it's very, very relaxed. You know, this is, you know, it's just ultimately relaxed, chilled out golf was perfect. And there were some really good golf holes, it's fair to say.
I think the tee shot from the first at Bushfoot is possibly, punchy statement, possibly one of my favourite views on a tee box and inviting holes to play that I've ever played in my life.
Yeah, is that because there's like 500 yards out to the right, which is all mown?
Yeah, it's infinitely wide, but it's a sort of dog leg left with the Bush River going around it. You got the Bush River sort of framing the whole hole. You're elevated by about 50 yards.
Yeah.
Elevated.
Big elevation.
And you're looking down at the sea, which is crashing in over the dunes.
You've got a stunning bay that you're playing out across, haven't you?
And it's like where they filmed Game of Thrones. It's just so remarkably beautiful. And you're looking at this golf hole and the best wind in the world is howling off the right. So, you know,
damn
you can
wind.
Just wail at it.
Yeah, it's just asking for it then, isn't it?
And it's just... Oh,
and the skies are cleared. Stunning. So all of a sudden we finally got a bit of sunshine, which was nice to see. And get a bit of vitamin D. The first few are really good. The weird thing about Bushfoot is there's this train line, like a abandoned railway line that sort of just cuts through the spine of the course almost, doesn't it? So you play one to this kind of really cool, it's almost like one of those Cotswolds.
420
sort of
yards to the smallest green. Literally, like you couldn't park your car on this
green.
It's
like a coffee table. But it's again one of those like Cotswold things where obviously the earth has been dug out to create a flat sort of platform, which was then shoveled off to the downslope. So you've got this huge severe drop off. Then you play two, a great little par three with the Bush River kind of jutting through and dunes on your left and walkers, and you just think that's fabulous. And Bushfoot plays as an 18-hole course because it has all different tee locations, and that's one of the best parts.
Severely
on that
different
second
locations.
Well, yeah, because 11 is up behind the first green rather than 50 yards back and down on the left. And we stood on the ninth tee box and the 18th tee box, where it's also shared with the 11th, the second hole. And yeah, it's like these are different golf holes and they're both great. So that was lovely. And yeah, and then you play three up, little blind, over this little railway track, down into a sort of a little bowl green at the bottom of the hill. And it's all just great. And I think you then seem to go into a different part of land. And you play a few out and back there where they've
the land,
sort of...
The land falls away towards the River Bush, doesn't it? So you've got like... Which is where Bush Mills is based, you know, the distillery. And they call distilleries?
I believe so.
Okay. Where they make the whiskey. And then it kind of falls down towards the river. So it gets a little bit more verdant, a little bit softer down by the river. You just turn around, get back the other side of the tracks, and you're back on the Lynxland of for the kind of
yeah, and they're cool,
six,
but
seven,
I mean,
eight,
I particularly, you know, it's all good fun, but you know, again, good closing finisher. Seven's a good par three. Yeah, eight's another good sort of short par four that you're playing.
But the wind didn't let up. So on the fifth hole was 400 yard par four. I've hit driver to the green.
Yeah, and you've slotted both of them as well. To be fair,
and the second driver, I didn't tee it up off the deck. And then the next hole was like a 495 yard uphill par
drive
five.
Flick, wasn't it?
It was driver like 8-iron or 7-iron or something
stupid.
Like that. It was so the wind was hard.
No, it's cool, and it was just the perfect amount of golf. Beautiful when you're playing in like pristine kind of bay, sun setting. You've got like some absolute white horses going on with people surfing in the bay.
That's cool watching that.
Yeah, like they were proper
and the clubhouse,
tubes, weren't they?
It's got this conservatory on the front of it, which is just kind of perched up on top of the hill as the sort of highest part of the course. And the conservatory is all glass fronted, and you can sit out there. And it's a little bit away from the bar, but the barman's still like poking his head around the corner going, three more Guinness? Yeah, okay.
Also no.
Okay.
Okay.
It was brilliant. Just sat there watching the surfers, sun setting. Yeah, so good.
Underlining.
Pints.
Probably the sort of sneaky sport of the trip, wasn't it? Yeah.
So, Guinness in Ireland and Northern Ireland is always going to be better than Guinness anywhere else in the world. So, you know, it would be wrong of us to drink anything else, but we did drink something else later on tour. But when we were drinking Guinness, obviously Guinness gets served in Guinness glasses and it's got the harp and it's got the word Guinness. So the game of the tour was every time you got a Guinness, you had to, in one sip, drink your Guinness and stop so that the white part of your Guinness, the foam of your Guinness, underlined the word Guinness. God, we got good at that. We got.
I started good at it. I don't know why. I seem to have some remarkable talent at underlining. If only I'd have known this at a much younger age, I could have really done something with my life.
Yeah. And there was no real outcome to the game apart from just to
just gloat. The satisfaction having underlined successfully. It just has to be flush across the bottom of the Guinness, doesn't it? But yeah, very, very enjoyable. And then headed into it. Look, any trip to Portrush without mentioning the Harbour Bar is impossible. Everyone you say we're going to Portrush, the next two words out of their mouth are Harbour Bar without fail. I thought, okay, sort of vaguely understand this. Like, there's a very cool Irish pub here. I understand Matt and the owners have kind of done a very good job developing in and around Portrush, lots of nice restaurants, different options. And, you know, it's a golf bar where, you know, it's famous for open winners going. It's lots of people there and, you know, telling stories from the links of the day. So I thought, okay, cool. Go into Harbour Bar and the place is like a TARDIS. And like, I'm not saying like that in the sense of, oh, there's another room back here. It's like a gargantuan complex. But you walk in and like the first part of the Harbour Bar is basically, it's just a little room that's just like a traditional Irish bar.
I reckon what you could seating, it's all stools, but the maximum you could get seated was probably like 18.
Yeah, tops. Well, we were in there and it was really busy at one point, and then 10 minutes later it was deathly quiet and you've gone, oh, it's gone really quiet in here. I was like, yeah, I think three people have left, Tom. I think that's why. Yeah. And then I had a table in the bistro, which is out to the back, which hadn't even gone through there. It's like a little side door that in most pubs in Ireland or Britain, wherever, you would think, oh, it just goes to the loos or something like that. You walk through and you're like, what on earth? I've like walked into some enormous funky bistro. Food looks amazing. You know, the vibe's off the charts. Sit down, have a most incredible meal. Like, incredible meal. Then it's like, go upstairs to a gin bar. I'm like, what, is this like just like a floor above that? And again, it's like some enormous complex. Vaulted ceiling, live music, seating for about 100, 150 people. Then there's another space upstairs, a function room. I'm like, where on earth has this space come from? It was honestly TARDIS vibes.
Yeah, yeah. And you look at it from the outside and it genuinely looks like it's just a small house.
Yeah.
You can't see where this space has come from. But it was
very bizarre.
What
very
was
bizarre.
Strange, for those of us that are outside of England and Wales that listen to this podcast, we're in a space where masks have not been required for ages, like months. And we didn't get the memo that Northern Ireland still require masks. So we were walking everywhere going, God, they're really into their masks here. Like, it's like they're really, and I think it really hit home when we were going for breakfast pre-Portrush, and we were in like a garage and like five builders walked in with masks on. We were like, hang on, something's awry here.
Something's rotten in Denmark here.
Something's awry. I think we have to wear masks. And we asked the lady, she's like, oh yeah, has no one told you? It's been in 2 days. Yeah, you're supposed to wear masks everywhere you go. Oh God.
Okay, now I realise.
And that being said, when we were in the Harbour Bar, because of a lot of the stringent things, I mean, the amount of times you got sat down by a bouncer, not physically, but being told, sit down for like getting up to have a dance forever, because we're just so not in that anymore. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't been in that space for a while, but that was odd going back there.
I mean, just a couple of observations, Ireland. Music just really makes a vibe when you're out and you're with your mates afterwards on a tour. And it's just so central to the...
That dude had a great voice as well.
Yeah. It's just great, isn't it? And those guys were without their music scene for a long period through COVID, but it's so kind of central to the kind of the pub life in Ireland, and I think, and of course Northern Ireland by extension. But it's that's amazing. The other sneaky one, which you guys knew nothing about, is Vodka and Lucozade, which anybody who listens to this podcast who is in Ireland or Northern Ireland will know it is a staple part of the pub diet, is a Vodka and Lucozade.
Now, when you told me about Vodka Lucozade, I genuinely thought you were pulling my leg, and I thought, this can't possibly be a thing. You know, obviously I've heard of Vodka Red Bull. I get it. And I was like, what, you like a Lucozade Sport? Like a still Vodka? No. Original fizzy Lucozade. Right, watch this. I'll go up and order it. You'll see who's taking the piss. comes back over.
Yeah, do you want two bottles of Lucozade or three, gents? Okay, so it's a thing.
Yeah, it was a real thing. And actually, infinitely better than like a vodka Red Bull, because you don't get that caffeine wallop that you can't sleep for days.
You just get just lots energy. Of electrolytes.
It's just pure energy.
Sustained energy.
Yes.
It's very good. And anyway, and that's just a very minor footnote. I want to close this pod off with talking about the band course. We had nine holes in us. We had a flight at
1 o'clock.
And we had about an hour and a half drive
Belfast
from
City, which isn't Belfast International, which was about an hour and a quarter away from
Rush.
Castle Rock.
Well, from Port Rush, but obviously it's half an hour Castle Rock from to Port Rush as well to go and get the bags. So I thought, yeah, this is the perfect amount of golf. It was the only amount of golf we could have played.
We had to be the first on the course to do that as well.
So going in, you mentioned Golf Surrey. So again, you know, someone, you know, one of the many, Surrey does not seem to be short of blog artists, by the way, who do talk about, who do some good golf content.
Blog artists.
Golf Surrey, not to be confused with Surrey Golfer, has recently been out to do a very similar trip to us. And about 2 days before, I was like, yeah, he's raving about this band course that we're going to go and see. And I saw some pictures and I thought, okay. So I was definitely alert to it. And we played this thing at 8-ish in the morning, 8:30. Yeah.
It's no, we're off the course by 9:30, so it must have been like
8 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's 2,500 yards, nine holes, and it's just got some of the most outrageous golf holes I can remember playing. Yeah. Like I was blown away by how cool it was.
It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I just cut through the dunescape there at Castle Rock, and they just like. They had no regard for the social golf norm and was like, all right, back-to-back par threes. This one's going to be 90 yards. This one's 140 yards. Nothing, you know, no over 200-yard holes, over 200-yard par threes in sight. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a 280 yards to par four, great. Play it like a par four. There's a par five there. It's about 440 or 50, something like that. You know, proper
There's a lot
five.
Of variety.
And it's just like,
but everything is played through crazy duneland, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the greens are all sort of like, there's no space wasted, pitched right up against the foot of a dune. And, you know, the pro said to us when we got there, he's like, only tip, lads, just hit it where you can see it.
Mm.
So, you know, two which holes is, in, you boys are trying to pull head covers off and stuff.
Which in retrospect, again, a la Sandale Heath, we should have taken the woods out the back. We didn't use woods.
No,
but it would have been nice to walk without them.
It would have made life a little bit
cooler. But it was just hit 200 yard, you know, up to where you can see, go from there.
But they were all bangers, and you can't say that about places like that very often.
No, they were all absolute bangers.
They were all absolute. One came off and thought that was a really good opening golf hole.
Yeah,
and it was arguably the weakest golf hole. I was like, that was brilliant.
And it was a great golf hole.
And then you're off and running. You play two. You've got these three fairways in front of you, which win in again in flat conditions where you can barely see a thing. All a bit misty and sort of ethereal. You're sort of like trying to pick which fairway to go. We've managed to figure it out eventually. You then play, you know, a little par three from about 100 yards to the most ludicrous greens. Just like falls off in every direction. Then a beautiful downhill par three to a tiny little plateau of a green.
Yeah, like a punch bowly type thing, wasn't it?
Great par five coming back that winds its way through. The whole thing was just very, very impressive.
Mm.
Six, again, the little... you know, sort of short four where you play up and over a mound and down into this huge bowl at the foot of a dunes.
Pond.
Yeah. Eight back, great golf hole. Nine, closer of
the year goes to?
Okay, I mean, just an insane green again. The whole thing was remarkable. And we talked a bit about second courses, but you can just get it so wrong by dismissing these second courses.
Yeah, but you also, I think the second courses themselves can get it wrong. Like where Castle Rock got it right is they didn't try and squeeze 18 holes out of it. They didn't try and make it long or, you know, that's just, there were no forced carries. It was just a perfect junior course, perfect course to learn on. Perfect course if you just want to rifle around for an hour and a half and get going, which is exactly what we were looking for.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's fair to say we'd had a fairly heavy night the night before, and we weren't 100% on our mental wit. And we just stood there on the first tee, blowing the cobwebs out, and we had with the vibes going.
There were music on the course. Just a great addition.
We were the
it?
Only people on the course, so let's caveat with that. We're literally the only people on the course. And
we had everything from Hall & Oates to Santana. And
yeah,
it's just nice.
We had the Spotify group session going. Mm. Just all the phones are playing.
All synced up, all walking around with the same beats going. Music on the golf course can be a real game changer.
It was vibey. It was just like standing over there listening to Santana. I think on the story, I kind of...
about anything sound good, just insert the word vibe here.
Just vibey. It was just... it was nice. It was just...
It was a very cool way. Very cool way to close the trip. Yeah. If you go to Portrush and there's one that's not built into the heavy itinerary, find time to go to the band course at Castle Rock. I cannot recommend that place highly enough.
And as a parting gift for this podcast, if you've managed to make it through the 40-odd minutes of this podcast so far, well done to you. I mean, I'm not sure why you're still here, but you are still here. And if you've ever asked the question, are you able to walk through a McDonald's drive-thru, the answer is yes.
You can do it. It can be done. We hadn't eaten a bean and I had a fly and we had to eat before we get on that plane. And it was a bit clutch for time, wasn't it? You don't need that much for a domestic flight usually, but we still had to drop the rental car off. When we were about 10 minutes away from the airport, I thought we're absolutely good as gold here. Then we had to get petrol. That loaded some time on. Didn't know what was inside the airport, whether there was going to be any option of food. So decided had to have McDonald's. McDonald's was only drive-through, which, by the way, just seems one of the most...
Probably a COVID thing.
Yeah, but, you know, it just seems so unfair on those that don't have cars. That, you know, they literally...
I think I'd said to you, like, if they turn you down, just play the card, like, why are you being discriminatory? I can't afford a
That's
car.
That's exactly the sort of stuff Daily Mail could latch onto as a headline. They could run
I
with that.
I can't afford a car, so I'm not allowed McDonald's. Is that what you're telling me?
Need to make McDonald's more accessible.
You very much confused them with your walking antics.
I had to walk through while you were getting petrol, but we managed to come out at the other end with food. And it got a bit clutch for a bit, didn't it? But we made it. It was it really gave me a big taste of Ireland.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much more of Northern Ireland to do.
Yeah.
So much more. And then Ireland itself I've seen the pictures and I've always been like, yeah, I'd like to go there, but now I'm like, I really want to go there. I'd love to do more. It's just, and you know, flights to Belfast, flights to Dublin.
With buttons. They're cheap
and they're quick. Like,
honestly,
for Birmingham.
So easily to change over and just get to a golf course.
Yeah, for Birmingham, it is arguably easier to go play like a Portrush or a County Down or
quicker than driving to
Armagh,
yeah,
than to get to Surrey.
Well, Surrey's probably a bit of a stretch, an hour and a half in the car for Surrey. But
say,
but yeah, Troon, or you want to get up to Round by Ayrshire, for example. It's four
okay,
and a half
maybe
hours.
Surrey's a bit harsh.
You're gonna beat that door to door if you do the flight.
Royal St George's.
Yeah.
Maybe even, you know, the Hoylakes or the Birkdales. That's two and a half hours.
Yeah, you got a lot of time. But the point stands. And there's just a lot going for it. And... yeah, I'd be really interested to see some of the West Coast stuff. I think, you know, anecdotally, there's a big difference in terms of, you know, West Coast golf scene versus East Coast golf scene in Ireland. Obviously, Northern Ireland is, you know, kind of, again, slightly different. The whole thing. I just think there's just a lot of drama on those dunes. Mm. And, yeah, like, what a trip. What a trip. I think company was amazing. People were great. The courses were absolutely knockout. And yeah, I'd be really interested to kind of get our listeners' take on it. It's always good when we get emails and stuff after a podcast. So anyone can get in touch on @CookieJarGolf or contact@cookiejargolf.com. More.
The email, isn't it?
That's the contact us inbox.
No, you've done the sign off, so you might as well finish it in style. Just go for it.
Thank you for listening. And until then,
adios.
Watch this.